Welcome to another episode of On Trippin' Oars. I'm Joseph Andrews, your host for this evening. We are hosted by BitRunner. That's the business that we run. It's an application that helps connect entrepreneurs and business owners with clients to set up appointments and payments for their work. Anyways, getting on topic, tonight we're going to be talking about the three different types of entrepreneurs out there. And, you know, there's a few other kinds. There are a few leeches out there, but we're not going to talk a ton about them. They might get some honorable mention at the end. Mostly what I want to talk about is what kind of people entrepreneurial endeavors are appealing to. I noticed when I was in college, I went to Johnson County Community College in Kansas City, and it was a fantastic education. Despite what you may think hearing it as a community college, it was a great education. But when I went to BYU, I noticed that a lot of the people were just good at jumping through hoops. You'd look at the syllabus, you'd be like, okay, if I do these assignments and follow the rubric, I'm going to get an A+ and I will be fine. And to be honest, that they were. My wife was a prime example of that. She was a fantastic student. She was in the magnum cum laude or whatever. I don't know. She wasn't the exact top of the class, but she graduated like a 3.98 GPA or something, which from BYU is pretty darn impressive. Meanwhile, I did not graduate from college. I had a horrible GPA there because my learning style was entirely different. I noticed there was a difference between the people who jump through hoops and have the security of that and were just good at following orders and following the system versus a person like me that was homeschooled, and I would go there and, you know, if I learned something, the most valuable lesson that I learned from my entire education, from back when even, is to read. I mean, if you can read, you can do anything. You can learn anything. You can read the textbook that the teacher's teaching from. You can do your own research. You can learn anything if you know how to read. And that's kind of how I feel about education. I had some strong feelings about education. I'm not going to go into that. But I will say that as a young man, I would learn things, and then I'd move on and learn something new. And going to college where you'd learn something in a lecture or from a reading, and then you'd have to write an essay about it and take a quiz and then take a test, was frustrating because I was ready to move on already, and we had to still talk about the same thing, and I had to do busy work, which I just hated. I obviously didn't do very well in school, because that's what it is. There's a lot of busy work, a lot of jumping through hoops in order to get that coveted certificate of compliance. I think that everyone should get a college degree. I want to specify that. An education is extremely valuable. Don't underestimate it. You should get an education. But I feel like a lot of millennials especially are really jaded right now because they went into debt to get into college and they took, you know, a social science degree or something like that. They can't find a job, and, you know, the expectation was that they would get an education and then they would get a secure job with a salary and benefits, and they would have made it. They would have accomplished adulting. It's kind of sad because, I don't know, I paid attention when I was working at Franklin Covey when I was 20 years old, 24 years old. And, you know, I served a mission in between there, but I kind of worked there sometimes. People would come in and they'd say, you know, I work for Sprint, or I work for, you know, a big corporation in Kansas City where I was from. And they would talk about, you know, what it is they do, and they would get a discount. And I'd ask them, you know, how did you get to the job you were? And it never, ever had anything to do with their education, unless they were a lawyer or a doctor or something. But it was always the same thing. It was like, I studied chemistry in college, and then I got a sales job, and now I sell fertilizer in Texas. You know, these were the kinds of things. The education had nothing to do with what they did. And I paid attention. I just pay attention to what people say and try to recognize trends and follow those trends. And I came up with the idea that what you do really doesn't have anything to do with your education. You should get an education because you should be educated, but it really doesn't have anything to do with what you end up doing. Those college students that did really well in college, jumping through hoops and stuff, with the expectation that they would have a job with security, many of them, they have accomplished that. I've accomplished that. That security that you get with a salary that's always the same, with the benefits that are always the same. You work from 9 to 5, it's guaranteed, and you're done. That's a nice thing to have. However, that comes at a cost. I recognized in my first salary job, I was making, you know, a solid amount of money, but I couldn't go in on a Saturday and make more money. If I worked an extra 10 hours a week, I made the same amount of money. And I'm like, you know, if I ever needed an extra bit of money, I need to get an extra job in order to do that. It's limiting. And as an entrepreneur, the idea is the world is your oyster. The sky is the limit. If you want to make more money, you can push and you can, and if you're good at what you do, you can make more money. That's the cool part about being an entrepreneur. It's the part that really resonates with most entrepreneurs, these three types of entrepreneurs. They want to be their own man or woman. They want to wrangle their own future. They want to diverge from the norm. You don't need to fall in line and be, I'll just call them robots, the people that jump through hoops and have job security and things like that. There's a call that we feel that calls us to be better than we could be and to push ourselves further than we could otherwise do and to accomplish more than could otherwise be accomplished because we recognize the limitations of the security of a typical 9-to-5 job. So this brings me to who are these entrepreneurs? I'm going to relate this to Legos because I played with Legos far longer than most people would consider normal. I was an adult and I was still building Legos and playing with my younger brother. I would buy Lego sets and I would buy them for his birthday quotation marks or for his Christmas presents, but I was the one who played with them. With him, I guess. There were three types of Lego builders that I recognized growing up. I had two really good friends. They were both named Steven. Steven Guernsey and Steven Harper. We all always got together and we would play with our Legos. And there was a difference between how we, you know, built with our Legos. Steven Harper was a collector. He would buy Legos, usually his Star Wars sets, because this was back in the early 2000s when Star Wars was just coming into Legos and Lego brand was reworking itself, which is actually a cool story in and of itself. But he would buy every new Star Wars Lego set. And he had a massive collection. He probably has an even bigger collection now. And Steven Guernsey's brothers would build Legos, and he would play with them, and he would maintain them. And I was the kind of guy that would build a castle and play with it for a couple weeks, get bored with it, and be like, okay, I'm going to build something. I'm going to build, you know, a spaceship now. And I'd wreck my castle and build a spaceship with all the pieces and stuff. And I would do this every few weeks. I would switch what my context of building, and I would build new things, and I just loved building. There's a difference between the three of us, and I'm going to kind of relate that to the three different types of entrepreneurs. The first type of entrepreneur is the maintainer. I relate this to Steven Guernsey. He had these Lego sets that his brothers had built. He had so many Legos. I'll admit it. I became friends with him so I could play with his Legos. We go over there, and he had like three castles. He had like three or four ships. He had a city. There was so much stuff that his brothers had built. And these weren't ones that you go to the store and buy. I mean, you buy the things, and you have tons of pieces from broken down sets. And they would build these awesome castles out of them. So most of them were kind of the creations of his older brother's imaginations. And he would get ticked if anything happened to these things. Like, if you broke the tower off of the castle, you'd be like, oh no, my brothers are going to find out that I broke their Lego set. And in reality, his brothers didn't even care if anything happened. But he maintained those things. He would wipe the dust off of them. Whenever we played, he had to go back in the exact format that they were because it was perfect as it was. And I'm going to relate this to that first kind, the maintainer. And kind of the people that really enjoy what they do, they hear the call to be an entrepreneur and they're like, you know what, I can do this better. These are kind of the artisans of the entrepreneur world. You have someone that's really good at something. They have a skill and they want to be their own boss. I mean, I feel this way at my current job and just being a software engineer in general is I want to build something worthwhile that I can be proud of, but the business has its own goals and I get pushed to just push out some, you know, okay things and then move on. And I'm like, not really proud of my work. And it kind of frustrates me. I'm like, I could do this better if I wasn't being bothered by a boss. So these kinds of entrepreneurs feel that call. and they say, you know what, I can start a store that's better. I can find these better materials and sell them better. I can build a better software. I can build better houses, etc. And they kind of branch off from their own field and they make their own business. And usually what happens is they will run it themselves because they are the skilled professional. They do all of the work themselves and they don't really grow. And there's no problem with this. I mean, being an entrepreneur is a joy in and of itself. It's not always about being rich. It's about being an entrepreneur. And I saw this with my dad. My dad was a fantastic craftsman. He was really good at carpentry. He worked in a cabinet shop for a long time, almost lost his thumb. That's a long story, but he's got a huge skin graft on his thumb where he almost lost his thumb. But he was really good at carpentry in general. And he kind of thought, you know, I want to do this. I love the smell of sawdust. I like building something that's beautiful and having pride in my work. So he's became a home remodeler and a contractor in general. And let me tell you, he ended up doing some of the best tile work I've ever seen. I ended up working with him as a teenager. We redid an entire McDonald's floor working nights when I was 15. And it was much better than the guy who'd done it before. We did so many kitchens, so many bathrooms. I mean, I lose count of how many they were. But my dad was meticulous with the tile work. If I didn't have something straight, or if the tiles weren't even, I mean, you had to put the right amount of mortar underneath these tiles to make sure they were all level. They had to be in a straight line. They could never start against a wall. It had to be a straight line starting from the center of the house. Things like this, right? My dad was perfect at it. And going to other houses that were new, I would see shoddy craftsmanship and be like, my dad is awesome. But he undercharged. He only did the work. He didn't hire somebody else to do the work. He didn't hire anybody to manage accounts. He did everything himself. Which, ultimately, if that's what you want, do it. But if you want to make money, that's not quite the way to do it. My dad was a maintainer. My dad was a craftsman. He took pride in his work, and he always did a good job. But this business didn't really grow. And this is why I say these are the kind of maintainers, the people that love what they do. And they aren't managers. They're good workers, and they enjoy working, and they enjoy working for themselves. They are entrepreneurs. Those are like my friend Stephen Guernsey out there, that, you know, he has something, he maintains it, he takes pride in maintaining it, and it is his joy. The second type is like Stephen Harper. Stephen Harper is the collector, right? He just buys lots of Lego sets, he builds them from the directions, you know, and he maintains them. He's got a great collection of Star Wars Legos. He probably has his own room filled with Star Wars Legos. He doesn't really play with them as much because, you know, we're all adults. We don't play with Legos anymore. But you can build Legos and you can have an awesome collection. I mean, I remember at one of my last jobs, there was a guy that had a huge Lego collection at his desk. You go over to his desk, you'd be like, dang, son. You got some Lego sets from the Lego movie, some of the really big, expensive ones that are really complicated and actually a lot of fun to build. These are the guys who are kind of like, they enjoy being managers. They like to build a company and watch it thrive. They aren't necessarily the worker all the time, but they built a company. They're proud of it. They like to see it through. They enjoy watching it grow. One of the first jobs I had out of college was like this. There was a man and a wife who had started a business together. And it was just kind of like a mom and pop shop out of the garage for a while. And it grew and it grew. And before they knew it, they had 200 employees with a huge warehouse with all kinds of logistical issues that I was, you know, ultimately in charge of trying to abate and make it better with software. But they grew a company. They had pride in that company. It was like a family to them. They were very attached to their business and they made a lot of money. It was pretty cool. You don't have to be the worker in order to be an entrepreneur. You can go beyond that. You can be the manager, the man in the high tower watching things happen. You build your Lego sets and you have a nice collection and it grows and it grows and you take pride and you're attached to that. And that is awesome. Third kind of entrepreneur that I want to talk about is like me with Legos. I would build new things all the time. I would wreck old sets and build something new out of it. I'm like, I want to build an ironclad. What would it take to build that? So I grabbed all my gray pieces. I destroyed all my castles that, you know, had gray pieces, and I built an ironclad. where I said, you know what, this is really fascinating history right now. I love the Spanish Armada stuff, the conquistadors. They had, you know, Lego sets that revolved around that. So I'm going to build ships. So I built ships, and I pushed the limits on every one of them. I made this freaking long ship. I got a bunch of slanted pieces that, you know, kind of matched up with the bottom of the ship. I didn't have the actual pieces to extend the ship's length, so I made my own. And I built this insanely long ship with, I was obsessed with, what was the name? Lord Horatio Nelson. Yeah. I was obsessed with this because I was studying a history at the time. And, you know, I built this long ship. And I'm like, it's a frigate. It's got one deck of guns and it's so long, you know, and whatever. And it's going to be fast, etc. You know, that's kind of what I was into at the time. And I would build a new thing and I'd wreck it and build a new thing. And it's funny because my younger brother, Morgan, I would build these sets, quotes, for him to play with. And he would take him and I would have a good time watching him play with these sets. Then I'd, you know, break it down, make something new, and like, here's a starship, play with a starship. Now here's a submarine, play with this. And yeah, I liked pushing the limits and watching somebody else have fun with it. These kinds of entrepreneurs are the people who enjoy building something. They don't necessarily like to watch it and see it through and whatever. We all have to recognize our strengths. Some of us are good at maintaining, and that is fine. Some of us are good at building new things, that's fine. These people that like to start a business, they're good at starting, they have a lot of charisma, they have a lot of great ideas, they like building new things. And then once it's built and it's kind of self-sustaining, they hand it off to somebody else, they sell their business to someone who's really good at maintaining, and then that business ideally should grow and continue to grow. The maintainers are great at that. You need to recognize your strengths as you do these things. So for an example, growing up, I knew this guy, Scott Peterson. I was like 4 years old, I guess. So my family was good friends with them. But he was an entrepreneur. He built a business and he sold it. I made a ton of money and moved away. And my family kind of kept in contact with him here and there. But he's built another business and sold it and built again and sold it. I made tons of money. And now he's over at the BYU Rollins Center for Entrepreneurs as kind of a counselor, telling people how to build a business. These entrepreneurs that enjoy building something, and that's fun for them. That's what gets them up in the morning. Being an entrepreneur is cool because it's always new. You're always doing something that gives you pride, that's fulfilling to your work. You don't go to the job from 9 to 5 with a white shirt and a noose around your neck. You go to work and you enjoy building something and maintaining something that is excellent. And that's what being an entrepreneur is. So he enjoyed building businesses and selling them. These are kind of the three types of entrepreneurs that are out there. And I think it's important to understand what kind of an entrepreneur you are. Are you a builder? Are you a maintainer? Are you a craftsman who enjoys his work? And recognize what it is that makes you good at that. Recognize what makes it bad at running a business and work around those things. One of the things that I've learned from being an entrepreneur is that if there's something you're bad at, hire somebody that loves it. There's someone who loves everything. Some people enjoy paper pushing. Some people enjoy crunching numbers. Some people enjoy programming. Some people enjoy working hard, getting dirty. I will admit it. One of my favorite jobs that I had was working at the grass pad in Olathe, Kansas, where I took care of trees. I got muddy. I dug holes. I clipped plants and things like that. I sold them. I loved caring for the plants and working outside. I still love working outside, working hard, getting dirty, feeling exerted. I just love feeling like I'm doing something like that. It's not what I do now, which is unfortunate. But, you know, if I ever get a chance to retire early, I'll probably end up having an orchard or something. I don't know. Do what you love. Enjoy it. Back to what I was talking about with finding people who enjoy what they do. If you suck at managing a warehouse, find somebody who loves and takes pride in managing a warehouse and hire them to do that for you so you don't have to do it badly. Let it get done correctly. If you don't like dealing with taxes, find somebody who does. If you hate law, like I don't like doing paperwork, but guess what? My business partner David loves doing legal paperwork. I don't understand it, but I'm so glad that we have somebody like that on board who fills the parts that I can't do, and I can do the things that he doesn't like to do. He doesn't like to do this kind of stuff where you kind of host radio shows and crap. The theme of being an entrepreneur is being your own self. we live in a time when lots of people are questioning what it is they're doing. They lack purpose. I remember in college, one of my roommates, he was outside talking, and I was, you know, trying to take a nap at the time, but I could hear him kind of like, I think he started to cry talking to somebody about how he was getting to be in his late 20s. He didn't feel like he had a purpose in life. He didn't enjoy school. He didn't have a job he liked. He needed something that gave him purpose. And so he and his friends decided they loved theater. They would build a stage and they would just perform wherever, and they would do Shakespeare because it was free. And they built the Grassroots Shakespeare Company in Utah, which is fantastic. They have a portable stage now. They're a 503C or 50 whatever it is. They're a nonprofit. They do fantastic productions of Shakespeare. They're the best productions of Shakespeare I've ever seen. And it started because somebody wanted to do something that gave them fulfillment in life, more so than a 9-to-5 job, living a boring life with security. The fun of life is trying something new, branching out to something that hasn't been branched out before, pushing your limits, and feeling the fulfillment of breaking through barriers. That is what life is about. That's what being an entrepreneur is. And you don't have to have your own business to be an entrepreneur. All you have to do is enjoy what you do and have the autonomy to make it happen. This is Joseph Andrews signing out from BitRunner's On Trip and Oars. We'll talk to you with the next episode. Have a good night.